Our Lord and our God, we thank you so much for being our God. We thank you for this opportunity to come together through our conference call. Lord, just teach us your word. Give us your Holy Spirit. Enlighten us in ways that we've never had before. Be in us, with us, through us, and for us as we go forward to hear and learn your word from each other and most of all from your Holy Spirit. In your Son Jesus' name we pray, and we all say, let it be. Amen. Okay, tonight we are continuing on, hopefully, where we left off last week. We had some questions last week as we were studying the first chapter of Genesis, and we were at the part where after God had made everything that was made, he decided to create humankind, and everything he had made was had a seed, I'll say, and that's what the scripture said. It had a seed within it to reproduce after its own kind. Now, anyone that was here last week, would you like to share to the point that we got? Because I may miss something. Where we left off, you asked some pretty heavy questions, and I have a few answers. I did some more research on it. So let's see. Sharon, you have a question. I'm going to unmute you.
Good evening, everyone. No, I really didn't have a question at this time. I had just pressed my button to let you know that I could hear you. But last week, Monday was pretty good because one of the questions that were asked and answered was about the blessing.
Ah, okay.
The blessing.
Yeah, we haven't gotten there on Thursday night. We went in another direction, but that class was really good.
I'm sorry, Tuesday class.
I know.
I forgot. Some people aren't here. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just going to listen here.
No, you can share because we have to go to that part anyway. I did not get all of the responses from the sound check. I'm glad you shared that. I'm going to mute you back. And
okay.
For everyone that's here, all I need you to do is press 5. Star, and I will know that you can hear me. So we don't want to go on without everybody being able to hear, okay? I'm going to mute you back, Sharon. Okay. All right. Now, if you'll press 5 star, I will know, okay? I got you, Cheryl. Una. I know I have Sharon already, and Kelly already. Friend, oh, good. Thank you. And this one, okay. All right, I think I have everybody now that you can hear. So we'll go on and continue with it. Because of the two different classes, there are some people who take both classes on Tuesday and Thursday. And that's what Sharon was referring to. So we will go on. We talked about, and I'll go backwards a little bit to verse 26, 25 and 26. That's where we'll start today. And what we did discover, that everything that God created, he said it was good. He also put its seed in itself, meaning that he created it so things would reproduce after their own kind. And he created everything that is after its own kind with the seed in itself. Now, when we look at, turn in your Bibles, I know we have our Bibles tonight. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis 1. Go down to the 25th verse, and I'm going to start to read. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. When he says his kind, meaning the beast and his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And we're going to stop there for right now because we want to get an understanding of how God created us and the fact that he blessed us. So now it's time for you to share the creation. How are we made? Push 5-star and tell me. Anybody? Okay, Una, I'm going to unmute you. Give me a moment. Okay, you know, go ahead.
Okay. We are made in the image of God.
But what does that mean when we say the image of God?
The image of God. Do we have what?
I'm getting a lot of static. I don't know why. Image, the image of God. We were made in his image.
Yeah, in his likeness.
What does that mean, in his likeness? What is his likeness?
Well, what I get from that is that we were made according to how he viewed himself.
Do you want to elaborate how he viewed himself?
Yes.
Or anybody else?
I don't
Go
know.
Ahead. I'm sorry?
Just how he pictured himself to be, because we don't ever see in Scripture, well, I haven't seen in Scripture how God has viewed himself, and no one can look on his image.
Do we see God's image in anything that you can recall in Scripture what image meant?
Other than his likeness, no.
Okay, other than his likeness. Okay,
mm-hmm.
We were having a discussion of what his likeness is. If we are made in his image or after his likeness, then what is that telling us about ourselves and where do we get the information from according to his likeness? Anybody to help Una? Anybody? Okay, one, I'm going to mute you back, Una. You star 5-star if you have some more, okay? Okay. The other week when class was over, I said, everybody asked a lot of important questions, and they were advanced questions before we even gotten to some of the information. And one of the questions had to do with God's likeness or his image. And different ones shared what they thought his image meant. So I usually send people back to do some research on it, which also means I have to do more research myself too. But when it says that God created humankind after himself, the one thing that came up was the plural, let us. Now, does that question come to anyone tonight when he says let us? Do you understand what he's actually saying or who the us is? We dealt with this on Tuesday night with the other class. They got that far and had some interesting responses. But does anyone know what the us meant? Try five star. Okay. The us, Sharon, you want to share it? Five star if you do. Sharon's always ahead of the game because she goes to both classes. And I always tell people that if you want to come to both classes, you're perfectly welcome to do that because there are different responses and different questions in each class, which sort of gears the way that we go. So, Sharon, share with us what Tuesday.
Okay.
Go ahead.
When you asked who was we, that
mm-hmm.
was the Spirit. It was the Trinity, the Spirit, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So the Spirit, that was the Spirit when he said, when the Bible says we.
Absolutely. And I'm going to mute you back and relate the reason we know this to be true is because of number one, in the first verse of Genesis 1, it says, God says, let us create. And the us was the fact that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit, it says in the first chapter, first verse or so, that the Spirit of God moved upon the water. So we know for a fact that the Holy Spirit was there with God. Now, to prove that Jesus was there also, we went to John, St. John, the first chapter. And it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and not anything that was made without the Word. Since we learn that God created everything by the power of his words, then we also learn that whatever God was like is what he created human beings to be like. When he created cattle so they would reproduce cattle. If he created flowers, they reproduce flowers, different kind. Whatever he created, it could recreate itself. So when we get to the part where it says to replenish on the earth, we can understand what God is saying to everything that is there. He made it so that everything and everybody, including us, could reproduce after its own kind. Now, in that verse, I want us to look at the fact that after he made everything, it says in the scripture that when he made humankind, he blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. We ask a question about if we think or know what it means to be blessed. He blessed everything. Take a shot at that. What does that mean? After he created them and he told them what they were to do as humankind and he blessed them, what was that meaning? Anybody want to share what they think it meant? Because we've been reading this for quite some time throughout our lives if we've been in the church. The blessing. What was the blessing? You going to make me work harder tonight? Francis, do you remember what the blessing was? Or why? What did it mean to be blessed? Okay, Sharon, thank you. I'm going to unmute you. Go ahead.
Blessing, inheritance.
Okay, I'll leave you open for a few minutes. What we found out was that the word bless, we had to go back to the original language. And this is one of the things I wanted to share with everyone tonight. The fact that when you do Bible study, you cannot always take for granted that the word you know is the same definition, has the same definition as the words that were written in the Old Testament. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and we have to go back to the original language in a lot of these words to find out what is really being told to us. And when we looked at the original word for blessing, it was quite a surprise to most of us. I think everyone was kind of surprised. But the Hebrew word blessed has a meaning. Let me ask you, are you hearing noise in my background right now? Say, push 5-star if you do, because they're cutting the line and it's kind of noisy. So I will, can you hear it or no? Okay. I'm going to go to Una. I don't know if that's for the noise. I'm going to close you, Sharon, for a minute. Una, can you hear?
Yeah, but after you, I don't hear the, yeah.
Do you hear the lawnmower?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to close. I'm sorry?
I didn't know what the noise was, but yeah, we
I'm going to close the window, okay? Hold on a minute.
Oh.
They have to cut the lawn at 7 o'clock on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Okay, did you have, you want to share that about the blessing, or you just want to let me know about the
blessing? Well, the blessing, I always thought that it meant happy.
It meant what?
Happy.
Happy?
H-A-P-P-Y.
Okay. Okay. Anything else? Okay, it's one of those things where we always hear, I've always thought it was happy to or content or I don't even know it all. But when we researched it, we discovered that the Hebrew, and we went to the Hebrew Academy and checked it. And bless actually has a meaning that adds to it. I want you to think about it once you hear this meaning. I'm going to mute you back, Una, and then I will read it. And just 5-star anybody that has a comment after you hear this, okay? Okay. The Hebrew script is translated as blessed or blessed. You translate this script directly from English. You get the spelling. And I want you to write down this spelling because it's very interesting. B-A-R, be like boy, A-R-A-K. And it is pronounced Barak, is the Hebrew pronunciation for the word blessed and the past tense word blessed. We know that the Hebrew word for blessed, we need to learn its meaning according to Hebrews. And it's actually written in the Hebrew script, and the script is 3 characters long. But the first symbol in the 3 characters to the far right, I wish we had a blackboard for this that everybody could see it, what it looks like, because we could draw it out. The first letter represents the letter B, and it's supposed to be a symbol of a house, a tent, and a family. Because the Hebrews were nomadic families who lived in tents. The second symbol in the middle represents the letter R, and it's supposed to be a symbol of the head of a man, which is symbolic of the man being the head of the household. The third symbol represents the letter K, and it's supposed to be a symbol of the open palm of one's hand, which is symbolic of giving or receiving. And when you put all of this together from a Hebrew perspective, this word means to give or receive an inheritance, a house, a family, land, or other natural resources of value. While there are more elaborate definitions for this word, this is the general meaning of barak. Does that make a difference in what it means to be blessed? When I read that and did some more research on it and come to find out about inheritance, you get an inheritance from someone who has more resources usually than you have. Now, the fact that God says we were blessed, humankind were blessed, meant that he was giving us the inheritance of what? What did we inherit? What did he give us when he created humankind and then he blessed them? What was he saying? Anybody? Five star? Five? Okay. Francis, I'm coming to you. You are unmuted. Francis, go ahead.
Well, I believe he meant that he's giving us the ability to use the power that he has. And by giving us these things, that we have the power to be what we want to be or how we pursue things, but he's giving us the ability to have the power, as this story or research that you just read about inheritance. We're getting something from him. He's all powerful, and he's giving us the ability to use this powerful that he has, or power that he has. But it's how we use it and how we develop it, but he's giving us the basic power. That's how I understand it to a degree.
That is a perfect understanding of what he's doing, and we're going to see it replayed, because what I did too was do some Hebrew investigation for the meaning of when we say he was created, we were created in his own image. I was looking in Hebrew for the image of God so that we would know what he's really saying. The literally, the word for image is Elohim. It's not spelled the way we always see it, but it's the Hebrew. And if we translate it into English, it would be spelled E-L-O-H-I-Y-M, Elohim, and Eloha, literally meaning strength and power. And it's usually translated as God or gods. So that when we say, that this is what will get you, and it'll take you some time to format this in your own mind. I'm going to mute you back, Francis, and if you have more to say, just five star, okay? What it's really saying, if this word, the literally meaning, strength and power, and is usually translated as God or God, what does that mean when we say we're made in his own image, then, about us? What does that say? Anybody? Five star? Nobody want to tackle that? The fact is that it's translated as gods or judges, as they are strong and powerful ones. But it's also commonly used for God as a name because he is the strong and powerful one. Okay, I'm coming to you, Cheryl. I'm going to unmute you. Wait, you're not totally unmuted. Okay, Cheryl, go on.
Oh, I just, I forgot what I was going to say, but just like what we have power.
Mm-hmm. We're made in his image, which means we're made how? Powerful. Mm-hmm. And it's translated powerful one. So if we are the image of God, it says that we are powerful ones, right?
Yes.
And that's why the inheritance that he gives us is that of the earth. The inheritance, when he tells us to take dominion, and dominion is what? Dominion? I'm going to mute you back, Cheryl, unless you want to say what.
Well, I'm just going to say power again.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's power. And it's a little more than power, because what it really is he's giving us an authority of our own domain. And the domain is the earth. He's saying, here, I'm giving you as an inheritance the earth. And you have power over everything that's in the earth. That, to me, says we have a responsibility, because he says, I'm giving this to you. What I give you, I want you to make it productive and fruitful, multiply it, and take control over it. When I looked up a domain is an area. It's a place that there's somebody who has to have dominion over it. And that's what God did when he created us. He gave us power over all the earth. And if it's translated image from the Hebrew, what was meant is actually saying we are powerful, we're filled with power, and we are the representation of God himself. Now, what does that mean? I'm going to mute you back, Cheryl, unless you have something else to say.
No, I don't have anything.
Okay. What you can do, and we've discussed this in earlier sessions, when you get a question, just jot it on a piece of paper till I get to you, because a lot of us forget what we were going to say by the time they get called on. So just
okay.
Remember, you can do that. Okay? I'm going to mute you back, but if you have any other comments in that, just press the 5-star. Okay. Now, the reason we do Bible study is to see how it can affect or change or influence our lives. Knowing this information, how can it change our lives? I looked at image in several different Hebrew contexts, and it just gives a wealth of information. Image is literally a shadow, which is an outline or representation of the original. When we read God created humankind in his own image, our minds form a mental picture, but we don't know what God looks like. So it is telling us within man a shadow or representation of his own function, his goals, his purpose, his thoughts. It is our responsibility to live our lives as representatives of God, acting in the same manner as he would. What does that tell us about our purpose? Anybody? Sharon? I'm going to unmute you. What is our responsibility? I don't know why I can't get you unmuted. Okay, you're unmuted, Sharon.
Okay, our responsibility is to take care of ourselves, which, in other words, our body is really the temple, and a lot of times we do misuse it, and that's not what it's for. We are supposed to be loving, giving, And a lot of times we're not that. And that is kind of like ungodly, but we try. Is that good enough for you, Lucille? Right now?
That's pretty good, but
I don't go too far now.
Okay, well, I'm going to mute you back and go to Francis and see what Francis is saying, because it's telling us what our purpose ought to be in life. Francis, you're unmuted, and I'm going to mute you back, Sharon.
Okay.
Go ahead, Francis.
Well, I agree with the earlier speaker about the goodness he wants us to do.
Uh-huh.
And it's where we have the ability and the power to do good or do ungood, evil, as we see every day all around us, and which probably gets our Creator very unhappy because he wants us to do good. Because when he created, he saw that everything that he was creating was good. So I go back to, it's how we use the power. And we all have to listen to the word and strive to do as much good or positive and be, say, fertile or do these things abundantly, spread goodness just in small ways. We don't have to do great things like trying to do something to be a standout, but just every day just do something good. And he knows when we do something good. Others may not know it, but he's aware of our thoughts. And when we have good thoughts, that makes him feel good because we are doing what he wants us to do and thinking in the way he wants us to think.
That's very good.
My little feeling about it, but just something small. But if it's good, he's glad because he says all is good that he created. So any small thing that we do that is good, it pleases him.
The small things that we do please God, but also the other things. It's almost like, and Francis, are you finished? I'll mute you back.
I'm going to pull out.
Oh, I'll just mute you back. You don't have to do anything else.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Just a thought I said.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to phrase this in such a way to say we can do small things and we can also do great things. If we have all this power, are we letting it go to waste? It's almost like living in the dark when you have electricity and you never plug a lamp in or a light. You think of it in that respect, that we have more than a little power. We can do many things, but Francis, I appreciate what you're saying because it doesn't always take a big thing, but it takes our starting with little things to even recognize the power that's within us. It's sort of like you can think about a gift or talent you have, and you keep it to yourself. You don't share it with anybody, or you do something. I always think about our classes at the center where I guess I always say, well, I don't paint as well as somebody else. Well, maybe that's not my gift, okay? I can't do like you do, Francis, and the other people. But I do what I can do. Also, there are things that's lying dormant within each one of us. I don't care who you are. There's something lying dormant within you that God wants to see come to light out of you. We don't know what it is unless we ask him. I remember saying when we had the Play with Clay Day at the center, the whole point was, I didn't learn that I could actually sculpt something until I was 50 years old. That was lying dormant in me. So once I learned it, I could share that gift with other people who would desire to know that and to learn that. So it's like there are things that we need to do in the world. There are things and people waiting for each of us. Some of it, like Francis is saying, something little that may seem insignificant to us can change the life of another person. I don't know how more to express it, because you have all power. It's sort of like, what was it someone said? What if you won the lottery and you had unlimited resources? What would you do? Would you just go and, let's say, I'll go to the movie, maybe I'll have dinner, I won't spend the money. Would you do that? Isn't that sort of like the same kind of thought pattern when we say we've got all this power at our disposal, and yet we look at things and say things like, I can't do this or I can't do that. He's saying to use what I have put in you. I think Sharon might have said it, or someone said it, that maybe God gets upset because we're not using what he's given us. That the reason we're not using it, half of the reason is we haven't always been taught what we have. But now that we're adults, we can read for ourselves, we can believe for ourselves, and that's what this is all about, is learning to read and employ God to tell us what we need to do. Knowing that, we can do little things. What kind of big things is possibly on the horizon for any of us? What are the things you look around the earth and see happening that maybe you said somebody should do? Somebody should find the cure for cancer. That's one. Anybody 5-star? Don't make me think I'm talking to myself only. Okay. Okay, go ahead, Sharon.
If everybody Sharon. Knows, we have never, ever, since I've been on this earth, no one knows how to eliminate the common cold. Nobody.
Yeah, if they know, they're keeping it a secret.
I hope that somewhere in my lifetime that we see prescriptions for people to be at no cost. That's what I would like to see, because it is ridiculous how some people have to scrape just to pay for medicine. And that's not nice. That's not fair.
And
make sure children
go ahead.
On this earth have been blessed and have found places that they can go and to be a child again. That's what I hope this earth can do in the future.
Okay, and I'm going to use this as one of the examples, Sharon, and I'll keep you online. When you see something or wish or desire something, what did God do when he desired something?
He prayed on it.
What did God do when he desired something? God himself. Go back to Genesis 1.
He created it.
And how did he create it?
He saw it.
Did he see it, or what did he do? We've all been to Genesis 1. Somebody want to help you out? Cheryl's going to help you out. Let me unmute Cheryl.
My computer just went somewhere else.
Okay, well, I'm going to mute you back for a minute, and Cheryl's going to help you out. Go ahead, Cheryl.
He asked.
He's not asked, but what? We'll change ask into present tense. He spoke it. Right?
Yes.
It says, God said, let this happen, let that happen. And when you desire something, you have that same power. It's what it's trying to tell you in Genesis 1. Whatever it is you desire, then you speak that which you desire. That's what it's all about. It's like that's the power you have, the power of your words. And it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and not anything was made. Nothing was made without the Word. It tells us that. We can see it, but we don't believe that we can speak it and help it to become. So if that's your desire, Sharon, then you need to speak it, not only to us, but speak it as a positive first-person thing. I desire a solution for the common cold. And then be guided by whatever God tells you to say or do. It's the common cold. It's cancer. It's healing of our bodies, of our minds, and our spirits. And I know I speak every day what I want my body to be like. I want it healed. I want it to be without pain. And over the years, it has gotten better and better. Nothing's instant. I'm not saying instantly as soon as you speak it, but the things that will bring it about will come into play in your life or in your lifetime, if that's what you ask for, in your lifetime. There was a young man on TV this morning, and I think he's locally somewhere in Ohio. And they had him on TV because he just graduated. I'm not sure if it was Solon or one of the local high schools. And he graduated with a 4.7 GPA. And they talked about the thousands of dollars that he was offered in scholarship money. And every school he applied to accepted him, but he wanted to go to Harvard, and he was afraid to open the letter for Harvard, thinking that he wouldn't get in. But, of course, with a 4.7 GPA, you're going to get in Harvard and all the other places, too. And he said one of his things, he's majoring in biology. And strangely enough, he was saying that he wanted to do something about medical treatment and how people could get better medical care and that. So that's just a passing thing on the horizon. See, you don't know the things we experience now. I'm going to mute you back, Cheryl, unless you want to say something else before I mute you. You okay, Cheryl?
Okay.
Hey. Okay, I think I muted you. The things that we are enjoying now, just like the telephone, television, all the various things that exist in our society now, was somebody at an earlier date saying, I want to be able to talk across nations and across people. I remember being in elementary school, and it was when they were laying the cable across the Atlantic Ocean. And they were saying, once this cable was laid, people would be able to talk across the ocean, which seemed virtually impossible. What we're doing now was someone speaking a desire to have telephones where you could see each other. And I'm sure most of us on this line remember that those times. But that's why I'm saying your power of speech doesn't have to come from you specifically doing it, but bringing it into the present. What it says in the scriptures, whatsoever you desire, ask and it will be given. Seek and ye shall find. That's what it's telling us, that we have the power to speak it. We don't necessarily know how it's going to happen, because things happen with God in ways we know not of. Does that make sense to anyone? Any comments on that? Was I putting you on the spot, Sharon? I'm going to ask you. Oh, here is Cheryl. I'm going to unmute you, Cheryl. Okay, go ahead, Cheryl.
Okay, I'm just going to say yes, it makes sense.
Okay, thank you for saying so. So what are some of the other things? Sharon shared with us. I'm muting you back, Cheryl, if you come up with your thought.
No, I don't have anything else to say.
Okay. I'm asking, okay, we can speak the solution for the common cold. We can speak the solution for the things that bother us most. We can speak that people will have all medicine that could be free. Could they, whatever it is that concerns you, you can speak that and allow God to work it in the atmosphere for you. I remember once we needed our house painted, and I left to go to the store. And as I was backing out the driveway, I would just say, we really need a painter. We don't have a painter, anybody I know or whatever, and I don't know how we'll get it done, blah, blah, blah. And I went to the store. When I came back from the store, my neighbor was on his porch, and he was saying, Ms. Abernathy, you ever think about getting your house painted? And I had to laugh out loud because God had already put it in the atmosphere for me. And he told me how he and his uncle had a painting business, and they ended up painting our house the first time. I'm going to unmute you, Sharon. Okay, go ahead.
Yes.
Sharon?
Your
hand was raised, right?
Yes.
Okay, and
I'm quite
go ahead.
I'm quite sure that everyone that can hear my voice and your voice, I'm quite sure there has been something that they have asked for, pain or anything, and asked, you know, for Jesus, God, just please help them to get through times and whatever. And it happens. And that's, I think, is what you're saying is we can ask, and it may not happen right then and there, but it does come. And it sometimes it's weeks, sometimes it could be a month, sometimes it could be the next day. But if you do ask for it and you really mean it, it will come to you.
That is true for asking, but also I want us to understand that when God created and we're made in his image, I want you to keep that, made in his image. When he got ready to create, he didn't ask anybody, but we've been taught to always ask in the church, and this is just another little semblance of division. Instead of asking, we're told that we're made in his image, in his likeness, and the things that he does, we can do also, is what it says in Scripture. So he didn't ask, but he spoke it in the first person, in the present tense. How do we change from asking to saying it, as if it was? There's a scripture that says, calling those things that be not as if they were. Yeah, call yourself healed and whole. Don't say, can I be whole? Can I be healed? You can do that, but I believe the power comes when you exercise the way God spoke it.
Yeah.
And you can try that because he spoke it into being. That's why it was important for us first to learn how he created. Secondly, to learn how much power he has. And thirdly, to know that he gave us that same power in his likeness, in his image. I challenge you just to try it for a while. Try it on something and just see if there's a difference in your life.
Oh, I have done it.
Okay.
It did make a difference.
Okay.
Mhm. I know if you ask, and yeah, and it can be done right then and there. If you, I've done that before.
Okay.
So definitely know how it is when you ask for something and you get it almost instantly, depending on what you're asking for.
Absolutely, and we talked about that briefly before. The whole point is to recognize that you have this, and I say it, unlimited power.
Mm-hmm.
Because how is God's power? Is it limited? Mm-hmm. Is it only for certain things?
No, it's not limited.
Okay, and if we're made in his image, who and what are we?
God.
I know that's hard for people to take, but there is also a scripture in the Bible that says, ye are gods.
Yes.
Not just
but
this that happened in Genesis, but it actually...
It sounds so strange when you say that.
Well, why do you think they wanted to kill Jesus when he came and said that? They told him he was black.
They did not want to believe him.
Absolutely. They didn't want to believe him. They had their own concept. And that's what limits our power today, is that we have so many concepts that are limited in our thoughts about who we are, what we can do. If you take a comparison, you take a group of people, or maybe even do it with little kids, because nowadays little kids believe they can start their own businesses, and they have been doing it, you know? And when we were little kids, the only thing we could do is go outside to play, basically. We weren't thinking about businesses and that. But if you take people from the beginning and you teach them what they are, who they are, I think our world would be totally different and we wouldn't have all the strife that we have today.
I'm going to
mute you back, Sharon, and I'm going to ask for any closing comments or questions. And if you want to know where to find things, I'll be glad to share some of it, but I want you to learn how to look for yourself. Because what we really need to do is be able to use our concordances and our Bible dictionaries and that and get information in the original language so that we will understand what is being said or taught. You can't share everything you learn because people will think you're crazy or you're not telling the truth. I think when we first started off, we used the examples of things that we've been taught that were not necessarily true, but we all believed them because we all were taught the same thing. You are opening doors to more information that hopefully will empower you and know that everything on this earth belongs to God, created by God, and how we treat it, even every human being, how we treat each other. Think of it as treating God. When you have another person, another item, everything belongs to God. Everything. Any closing thoughts before we go? Our hour is 3 minutes before it's being up. Anything before we have our closing prayer? I want to thank everybody who came to the conference tonight, and feel free to invite other people to share in it. It doesn't matter where they live. Just give them the codes, and they can feel free to join with us. You also are free to join on Tuesday night if you'd like to come in on Tuesday, one or both. It's totally up to you. And with that, I will do our closing prayer, unless somebody else wants to do it. You can five-star me. Feel free, pretend we're around the table. Okay, let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for each life represented here tonight, each family that's represented. Lord, open our hearts, our minds, and our spirits that we may come to know your holy word, your holy intention for our lives and how we can touch the world for you. In your son Jesus' name, we pray, help our belief, and we all say, amen and good night.